Conditions quiet in Iran as Shah acts to mollify the opposition. New snag in Egyptian-Israeli peace talks. House committee again looking at the King assassination. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. On the surface this morning, Iran is calm. The military government seems to be in control. But beneath the surface, severe strains persist, and Don Clatsop reports that the outcome remains uncertain.
For the past several days, Tehran has been quiet, and today it is even more so, this being the start of a three-day Muslim weekend. But Sunday, a regular workday year, could be different. A test, perhaps, of whether the Shah can survive this latest crisis facing him. Diplomatic sources say if he can persuade thousands of striking workers to start returning to their jobs, his monarchy will probably survive. But if he can't, and the dozens of strikes now plaguing the country continue, the Shah's position will be seriously weakened. Military personnel could be used to take over certain jobs, for instance in the oil field, but that's regarded as less than that of Bakri. It is difficult to tell what all the government is doing to end the impasse. Martial law continues. But today, according to National Iranian Television, the Shah, in an effort to placate his enemies, announced that he would permit an investigation of his financial affairs and those of some of his ministers. Yesterday, the Shah announced he was forming special courts to investigate those officials who have been charged with corruption. Right now, soldiers with guns and tanks remain on guard throughout Tehran, just in case the calm, which now prevails, is suddenly threatened. Don Clatsop, CBS News, Tehran.
Under arrest, among many other officials, is the man who served as Prime Minister of Iran from 1964 to 1977. New complications keep developing in the Egyptian-Israeli peace talks in Washington. CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb reports the way the situation looks right now.
The Egyptian negotiators returned last night. They are scheduled to confer with Secretary Vance today. Their instructions are to insist on a tight linkage between the peace agreement with Israel and follow-up talks concerning the Palestinians. But this flies in the face of the latest thinking of the Israeli cabinet, which Defense Minister Weizmann and Foreign Minister Dayan presented to Vance yesterday, shortly after Weizmann's return from Jerusalem. The Israeli diplomats themselves were unhappy about their latest instructions, which are to insist on no linkage, no matter how loosely written into the preamble of the draft treaty. The Israelis want the treaty with Egypt to stand on its own feet. The Egyptians want it to be tied concretely to the negotiation about the future of the Palestinians. This sharp difference of opinion depressed Secretary Vance, who urgently conferred with President Carter. The negotiation, it is recognized, is now at a very difficult turn in the road, but everyone is still pledged to complete it. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin has again declared that his country will not withdraw to the pre-1967 boundaries on the West Bank, nor will it agree to establishment of a Palestinian state ruled by the PLO. Begin is now in Canada on a fundraising trip. Sources in Montreal, quoted by the Reuters news agency, say Begin has considered cutting short his journey because of problems in the peace talks with Egypt.
Hurry to Gimbel's now through Saturday for the last days of Gimbel's Home Savings Spree. You'll find spectacular savings for every room in your home. Listen, save 40 to 50% off original prices, even more on famous maker comforters. Twin size, just $14.99. Save on towels, sheets, and pillows. You'll love cooking with Krischer's 11-piece cast iron cookware set, just $39.99. Save on china, flatware, and glassware. Give your floors new luxury at 25 to 50% savings on wool rugs, room-sized remnant rugs, and famous maker broadloom. You'll find relaxing savings of 30 to 50% on recliners from Burris, Parka Lounger, and Strato Lounger. Save on lamps, stereos, and TVs. There's so much more in Gimbel's Home Savings Free, now through Saturday at Gimbel's. And don't miss the fun and excitement at the new Gimbel's in Roosevelt Field. It's a whole new shopping experience. Come see us. The sky's the limit at the new Gimbel's in Roosevelt Field.
The House Assassinations Committee resumes public hearings today, and Jim McManus reports that it's going to concentrate on the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
Between now and December 1st, the committee will examine the 1969 murder confession of James Earl Ray and evidence suggesting that he was the killer of Dr. King despite his later denials of guilt. Today's witness apparently will be former British policeman Alexander East, who guarded Ray after his capture in London 10 years ago. East has told committee investigators that Ray admitted the King murder in private conversations at a London prison. But the public hearings will focus in coming weeks on the question of conspiracy, whether Ray had help in planning the murder and making his escape. The committee will consider charges that the FBI's campaign of harassment against Dr. King may have led directly or indirectly to the assassination in Memphis in April 1968. By mid-December, the panel is expected to recommend new legislation designed to improve the protection of public figures and to ensure more thorough investigations of political assassinations in the future. Jim McManus, CBS News, Washington.
The National Rifle Association is under fire today from a coalition of anti-handgun groups. We'll hear about that from Ike Pappas.
The Anti-Handgun Coalition intends to file a federal suit today against the Army, charging that the law that says any American interested in purchasing a surplus military rifle must first be a paid-up member of the NRA. Coalition Director Sam Field says that's discriminatory and thus unconstitutional.
It forces people to give money to an organization that will use that money for campaign contributions or supporting political and legislative goals that most Americans don't agree with. The analogy I've made is like having to join the Democratic Party to collect food stamps, and I'm sure everybody would be outraged at it, and we're outraged at this.
The suit is seen as the start of a broader effort to diminish the political clout of the NRA. Association officials say they aren't worried, and in fact would be happy to have the NRA's name removed from the law if it would help promote rifle practice in America. The Army asks, why sue us? If the anti-handgun groups want the federal law changed, Congress can do it in the next session. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
President Carter, after signing the watered-down energy bill at the White House, later this morning flies to Kansas City, where he'll address the future farmers of America and hold a news conference. It will be broadcast over many of these CBS radio network stations at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
This sound is the result of thermal instability caused by a low-pressure system colliding with a cold air mass, or simply a thunder shower. I'm Spencer Christian of Eyewitness News. As weatherman, even when it's cloudy, I'll try to keep a sunny disposition. And though I may not always take myself seriously, I do take the weather seriously. And I'll try to be as accurate and informative as possible. In other words, I'll never snow you. Join me, Spencer Christian, on Channel 7 at 6 and 11. At Eyewitness News, you get involved because we get involved.
Lovely sunny day at WCBS News Radio 88. Thursday morning, the ninth day of the month of November, and temperatures again from a couple of months ago, becoming milder as we go on. Sunshine, and Bob Harris is looking for a high temperature in the 60s, perhaps 62 anyway. The record high for this date was 75 back in 1975. Clear tonight, sunny, hazy, and in the 60s again tomorrow. 48 degrees Fahrenheit in New York City at the WCBS Weather Center, 9 Celsius, humidity 79%, barometer rising 30.07, 8 past 8.
The old and bitter problem of Cyprus is throbbing again at the United Nations like an unhealed wound. So says Richard C. Hotelet.
The Republic of Cyprus moved last night to bring the issue to the Security Council. The essential facts are distressingly familiar. For the past 4.5 years, the northern 40% of Cyprus have been occupied by the Turkish army. Turkey says it is there to protect the Turkish Cypriot minority. The effect has been to cut the island in two with a UN peacekeeping force between the two sides. The problem is to bring Cyprus together again in a framework that lets the largest number of Greek refugees return to their homes, but is still loose enough to give the Turkish community autonomy and security. Today, the UN General Assembly is expected to call for the immediate withdrawal of all foreign armed forces. Anticipating this, the government of Cyprus has asked for an urgent meeting of the Security Council next Monday to agree on enforcement action under the UN Charter within a limited time. This would inject the threat of economic and political sanctions at a moment when the United States is hoping to revive quiet negotiations between the Greek and Turkish Cypriot communities. Richard C. Hartle at CBS News, United Nations.
Norman Rockwell, whose paintings of Americana graced hundreds of calendars and Saturday Evening Post covers, died last night at his home in Stockbridge, Massachusetts at 84. Some years ago, in a CBS News interview, Rockwell was asked why he didn't aim higher than calendars and magazine covers.
Everybody's after you, you know, your family and your friends all say, when are you going to really paint? Why don't I paint? Why? What is this thing in my soul that I don't paint? I don't want to paint that. I want to paint something that, you know, that somebody says, paint it, and I want to please them. You see, I'm just not a fine arts man. That's all there is to it. I'm an illustrator. And that's the way I'm going to die.
Some people called Rockwell an American Rembrandt. The term would have made him laugh.
Do you realize that I would have to earn 12% to keep the same dollars I get from that discount tax-free bond at F.A. Ramirez? That much? 12%? Sure. I bought my 5% tax-free bond at a discount, which is currently yielding 6%. And in my tax bracket, that's worth 12%. And on top of that, you're guaranteed capital growth when that bond matures.
Uh-huh.
That's smart. That's why so many sophisticated investors depend on the tax-free bond experts at F.A. Ramirez for high-yield tax-free income. They know their business through and through. Unlike generalists, they can dig a little deeper to find the right tax-free bond at the right price.
Uh-huh.
At Ramirez, they also maintain a multi-million-dollar inventory of discount tax-free bonds. Full of bond dealers and their own customers, like me and you.
Sounds good to me. I'm going to call the tax-free bond expert at F.A. Ramirez.
In New York, call F.A. Ramirez Collect at 212-248-0500. 248-0500.
The dollar declined again today in Western Europe and also in Japan, where it closed at 186.70 yen, down almost 2 yen from yesterday. The dollar's continued weakness there has now led to a Japanese offer to pay more for American troops stationed in that country, following conferences between Defense Secretary Harold Brown and his Japanese opposite number. Bruce Dunning has the story.
It came as no surprise. Discussions have been going on for months about how Japan could ease the burden of maintaining American troops here in the face of the dollar's continuing loss of value against the yen. But Defense Minister Kanemoto made it official, telling Secretary Brown that Japan is offering to pay about $200 million more in addition to this country's yearly contribution of about $500 million. Japan currently pays one-third the cost of maintaining the 46,000 American troops in Japan. These costs have soared in dollar terms as the American currency has lost almost 40% of its value against the yen since January 1977. Japan is offering to pick up an additional $160 million for the construction of new facilities on U.S. bases, costs that have to be paid for in yen. And according to government spokesmen, Japan would also pay nearly $40 million more in labor costs for Japanese workers on the U.S. bases. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Italian President Sandro Pertini this morning promised stern measures against terrorism following yesterday's fatal ambush of a prosecutor and two bodyguards. Pertini said the war will be long and difficult, but he's sure the authorities will know how to act.
Saab, the command performance car, has given one of the greatest performances ever at the FCCA National Championships at Road Atlanta. Saabs didn't just win firsts, or come in second, third, fourth, fifth, or seventh. No, Saabs swept every one of those spots in showroom stock B competition. This astonishing record becomes even more astonishing when you consider the fact that the finals had 22 top cars driven by some of America's top drivers. And they got there only after winning a grueling series of regional races. The five incredible Saabs that swept the FCCA finals came right off the showroom floor with only minimal modifications. So they're virtually the very same Saab you can drive today. Which means if you want the driving thrill of a lifetime, see a Saab dealer. And get behind the wheel of a national champion today.
At Brownell Motors in Fitchkill, New York, and Middlesex Foreign Cars in Somerset, New Jersey. 14 after 8 in the morning on Thursday at WCBS, a sunny day in the 60s. 49 degrees Fahrenheit, 9 degrees Celsius at the WCBS Weather Center in Midtown Manhattan.